Welcome to the Of Those Toes podcast. With you as always, I'm Top Toes.
And I'm your co-host, Annie. This is where I say again, and welcome to the Of Those Toes podcast.
Right. Or I say again, thank you for joining us, returning listeners and first timers alike. And, you know, it's amazing. We do this for 5 years. We are the consummate professionals who constantly can't get an opening right. It's fantastic. It's our signature, not one we really want to have, but here we are.
You know, I don't mind it. I feel like we don't need to be super dry and traditional.
I certainly don't ever want to have an opening that sounds like we recorded it, canned it, and use it over and over and over.
People do that in the podcasting world.
Oh, they absolutely do. I'm not saying that that's not a good thing. If you've got something good and yet you hit it and that's what it is. But I think it's not our signature. It's not who we are.
You know what we could do one day? We could have someone introduce us.
Oh, that would be weird. Hey, you know, we talked about having opening up regular members of the community to sponsor us in a sort of like mini ad kind of way. And one of the things we could offer is you could do our intro. That would be
fun. Yeah.
Would people toss a couple bucks for that? Doesn't have to be a lot. Because you're doing us a favor, but you're also getting your name and voice on the air. I don't know.
I think they would. Okay, let's see. If I were introducing another podcast, then I could say the hellos and say I'm Annie from the Of Those Toes podcast. But today you're listening to, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then talk about the podcast a little bit. And then there's your 1 30-second ad right there.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
Do you think people would be like turned off if they all of a sudden heard a different voice?
I think, well, the first time listeners would not know what's going on. And I think the returning listeners would just like their ears would prick up and go, what is that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even start the podcast. I feel like it throws things off when I start it. Like when we switch our lines.
Oh.
I say lines in air quotes because
we don't have lines.
They're not really lines.
But yes, we did find out that if we try to do it in reverse, it actually goes worse. So here we are.
Yeah. Welcome to
the Amateur Hour. And, you know, that's what we do. We do not pretend to be media professionals because, dear God, then that would actually involve getting paid.
Or spending a shit ton of money on a shit ton of things that we definitely don't need. Because
this is our little labor of love that we hope that you also love. And, you know, 100,000? No, I think that's total listens. But tens of thousands of you can't be wrong.
Hey, so really funny is that my gynecologist has a podcast.
Is it about gynecology?
No.
Okay.
I mean, she mentions who she is and she mentions her patients and all that. But really, it's about like female empowerment, and she has guests that come on and talk about all sorts of things.
That she's not also like heading the snooch while she's doing this podcast.
No, she's mostly just talking about like day-to-day struggles in women's lives, and she's a life coach as well, so I think that's kind of where she her target audience. It's not necessarily a medical podcast, but
right. You didn't introduce her as a life coach. You introduced her as a gynecologist. Right. So.
And she says it took her months to prepare for it. And I was like, what? And her first episode, because you know, I always do that when I find a new podcast, I listen to their very most recent episode. And then I listen to their very first episode. And her very first episode was during COVID. It was like, I don't know, like June 2020, like right around the time we decided.
Yeah, we started the same October.
And it took her months of preparation. Like she has all this equipment and she hired somebody to introduce her podcast. So there's like little music playing and this girl, you know, with that voice comes on and introduces her her podcast, and part of me thinks it's really cool, but also that, you know, we're just not that structured. Like, just...
No, we're not. But I do love the parallels. So we did not prepare, and you can tell on episode one for sure we did not prepare. I don't even know if we like sound tested. We did not. And it took us about 4 years to come up with intro music. I think we knew in season two we wanted it, and then it took us 4 years to find it. And then it took us till year five to figure out the idea that, hey, it might be interesting if somebody else introduced us. So, yes, again, welcome to Amateur Hour. And this week specifically, welcome to our amateur scientific, completely unscientific statistics hour.
Oh, God. I mean, do we need a disclaimer?
Yes, I think I just made it. We are not social scientists. We are barely adept at math, apparently, as we had to, we discovered that our math wasn't even good on the first shot.
Well,
but
you know,
we have conducted a very extremely unscientific poll of you, our listeners, and our followers on social media that produced incredibly biased results that we're still going to tell you because that's what we wanted to do.
I mean... My problem was relying on AI, right? That's exactly what happened. Yes, I was like, oh, AI is going to do the math. And I didn't even realize.
I discovered that AI can't do math. And I looked at your list. I'm like, you're like, those aren't percentages. What the heck did you do?
Yeah.
Hold on. I do want to actually explain the prompt. You ran some numbers and got some results and ranked them based on number of votes for them. And then you told AI to make them percentages. And AI put a percent sign on the same number you gave. So if anyone is out there worried that artificial intelligence is going to take over the world, it hasn't even figured out what a percentage is, okay? It's so hyper-literal. Don't worry. Terminator is not going to kill us this year, for sure.
It literally just put a percent sign at the end of my number, but I was too distracted to even notice. I was like...
Also, I think disclaimer, this is the last time we're ever going to rely on AI to do anything for us, because now this is two episodes where we've discussed the complete failure of AI. One, in creating a Super Bowl ad that creeped out the universe, including the foot fetishists, and two, in AI thinks adding a percent sign to a number is a percentage.
It's creating, you know, maybe they're gonna say it's user error because I should have been more specific.
I don't know.
You
know that.
I mean, I should have. So then, you know, we ended up doing it the old school manual way, and it turned out perfectly fine. So
it did.
And if it didn't, who cares? These are our numbers, and we're going to, just like we did with the, oh my gosh, what's the episode that we always say is really good, but it's really bad because we.
The election special. The episode that's special. Really good with a terrible title.
Yeah. So the election special, like we just decided who was going to win. We just voted for what we wanted and called them a winner.
Right.
Like, yeah.
This is
we like these kinds of shoes because that's what I like, and so that's going to be the winner.
That's the answer. But in this one, we did actually, and this episode, it's very weird to know that an episode is going to be popular. At least I can say it's highly anticipated, because
yes,
as soon as we put
one.
Out the call, and everybody knew that these numbers were going to go to an episode. Everybody wants to now hear, mainly I think, to see where their interest ranks in the total population.
Right. Yeah. And the thing too is, when you, first of all, as a society, we don't know how to, we can't handle delayed gratification. We don't know how to, you know, wait for something good. So
there is such beautiful anticipation in delayed gratification. People should learn this.
Well, you know, all our edgers do, but everyone else doesn't. So I've got all these great responses on Instagram, so many that I didn't even put it on my Twitter because I already had too many. And the thing was, then they're all expecting a response. And usually, regardless of who sends me any type of response to a question, I either post it or I answer them directly, but there's an acknowledgement.
Oh,
that
yes.
I've read their
just left all of my respondents on red, and they're probably sitting there going, what?
Whoa, what an asshole. But I answered his question. He didn't even acknowledge it.
Unlike your poll, my poll had the Oh Those Toes podcast header on it. So they were at least made aware that it wasn't Top Toes just asking this question for his own purposes, that this was for scientific purposes. So I think they understood why I didn't publish their answers.
I started to respond to them. Like I was sort of sending a general like, well, thank you for your response. We're going to air it on our podcast, you know, whatever. And then I got back, so can you send me the link? When is it going to air?
Mm.
And so then I started doing that. And then I saw all the answers come in, like the hundreds of them come in. And I was like, oh, I don't have time to do that. So,
and when is it going to air? We just, before we recorded this episode, we just got out our abacus and our slide rule to try to figure out when anything's going to air.
Yeah. You know, on the bright side, we've said this to each other, but on the bright side, moving to a, you know, reducing the amount of episodes so we're not weekly, we're bi-weekly, has really helped us sort of deal with the podcast and still love it without feeling like it's draining us. So,
and also I think focusing on slightly better topics and guests, I don't want to say slightly better guests, we've always had great guests, but
we have
it allows us to fine-tune what we present, because we never feel like we're rushed to just put an episode on the air.
Right.
And I don't think we want to admit which episodes were that, but there are some episodes that we've just rushed to put something on the air and we feel bad. And then we laugh because it becomes our most popular episode ever. So that's why we kind of continued with that path. But
yeah, there's been many times when you and I are like, what are we going to talk about today? I don't know. You know what? Let's just fucking hop on and figure it out. And then we do. And then it turns out really well. And again, that goes back to
chemistry.
Yeah. It goes back to our friendship. It goes back to how well we get along. It goes back to we've always been able to talk about anything and everything. And also, you know, I'll talk a mile a minute. Like, a lot of shit to say. So
we both do. But we've also been talking for a while. And we have not even begun to broach the top 10 list. So let's set it back up.
We really need to stop that. We asked a
very, very simple question, and that is, what is your favorite thing about feet or a foot or foot fetish?
Was that yours too? No, yours
didn't. Mine was simply feet. And I was surprised that even based on that, my viewership understood and I got answers from females talking about, you know, their experience with feet, probably from the perspective of their own feet and what goes on with their own feet. You added foot fetish. I don't think it skewed the results. I think what skewed the results is who our social media audiences are.
This is true, because when I put out the question, I got a lot of people saying big wide feet like yours, wide soles like yours, big toes, yes, like yours. So, and then yes, you got pantyhose, right? Feet and pantyhose.
Were any of the nylon related answers from any of your viewers, or were they entirely from mine?
No, they were from mine too.
Okay. So that's not as skewed. So yeah, there were some size related statements that were a little difficult to quantify. We can say just in the generic that some people's proclivities are specific to the size and shape of feet or elements of feet. Harder to quantify, like I said. But so we're going to start, we're going to call, because we did get far more than 10 responses, we're going to call anything that garnered a 3% or less response number 10.
Right.
So do you want to read those in no particular order, or should I?
I mean, let's take turns. You read one, I read one. So so we're doing top 10 things that people like about feet. More than likely foot fetishists, right?
Yes. I think based on who is in our, who follows us on any social media platform, these are foot fetishists or people who cater to foot fetishists or people in relationships with foot fetishists. I think that's pretty much guaranteed. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on our pages.
Right.
So answers with 3% or less, we'll call that the negligible. This
will be number 10.
Number 10. We had arches.
worship slash sucking.
Now, we both really thought that would have been higher.
I really did. I thought that was going to be... 3%
of people thought that foot worship or toe sucking was their favorite thing about feet or foot fetish. I like this answer. I've given this answer before. Curves. I think the curvy shape of the foot is what makes a foot at least visually appealing to me.
I thought about you when I read that, actually. I did. Heels. Now, let me clarify, not high heels, like as in shoes, but the heel, the bottom heel of the foot. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And again, even less significant, but going to just my favorite thing is a specific part of the foot. People like nails, assumably we mean toenails.
Mm-hmm. People also like that it's something secretive. So they don't, a few people don't like that it's mainstream. They like that it's hidden and naughty. And
we've definitely discussed that before. Yeah. I'm not going to agree with this one, but there are people who just literally like the dead skin.
And, you know, by people, I mean one person.
That's true. We're at the such negligible results. This is probably one respondent. So one person said that their favorite thing about foot feet was dead skin.
Yeah. And then another one that surprised me, foot jobs. Foot jobs, less than 1% of people said foot jobs.
I think that that's a nice... thing about having a foot fetish, but I don't think it's the reason you have a foot fetish. I don't think it's your favorite thing about feet, but apparently at least one person's favorite thing about feet is getting a foot job. Yeah. And then at least 1%, I guess that's one. I thought there was multiple respondents. I think we're still in the two respondent range.
Right.
Whose favorite thing about feet was not actually the feet, but the legs and the calves. So proof that people follow us who like all parts of the leg.
I feel like I almost didn't want to count that one because, you know, I said, what's your favorite thing about feet or foot fetish? And they said legs, but that's a leg fetish. Isn't it?
So, we wrote it down. We said it. It's here.
Okay.
Discuss amongst yourselves whether that counts.
So those were our lowest.
That was number 10.
Number 10. Those are our lowest responses.
For any of our people old enough, I have to get my... Oh, God, who was that? He had the late show. My David Letterman announcer voice on at number 9.
Oh, sorry, I was drinking.
Okay, coming in at number 9.
Tickly, appropriately laughing.
4% of those who responded... their favorite thing about feet was tickling.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all the time, but there is something just great about the reaction to tickling. Being on my side of the foot fetish slash, you know, I don't like being tickled, but getting a good tickle and getting a good reaction out of it is a lot of fun. It's just one of those, it's a nice way to be a little bit sadistic.
Right. Yes. Without pain. Well, at least not. I mean, it can get painful, but I was thinking that, you know, tickling is a completely different fetish. Because I think if you're a tickler, you like to tickle everywhere, not just feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then again, we've been saying for years, right? It's really not about one fetish. Like there's so many little paths that you can take and all these.
I think it's fair to say, and I think adjacent. Based on the fact that we got results, I think it's fair to say you can love feet, and then your favorite thing about feet, or maybe interpreted as your favorite thing to do with 2 feet, is tickle them. I think that you can be a foot tickler separate from being a general tickle fetishist.
So you think there's like tickling fetishists out there that only like to tickle the feet?
I would think that there's foot fetishists out there who are particularly interested in tickling. But then again, we're trying to put pegs in holes, and I think everything is so fluid. What do you look as the cause? What do you look as the major and the minor, the cause and the reaction? How do you know? How do you know that tickling feet is more tickling fetish or foot fetish?
And it's okay to be both. All right, number 8.
Number 8. Also with 4% of the... respondents, And this is what I needed you to clarify when you put the list together, but emotions, partner, and reaction. And I think we kind of boiled this down to the way your partner and I'm responds to your attention to their foot. Am I feeling that?
Correct. Yes. So we did get a lot of responses where people sort of brought emotions into play. And the reason I chose to separate them was because this particular response, number 8, people really enjoyed their partner's reaction to them touching their feet.
I was just telling you about that recently. I definitely enjoy, especially if you try something new and you get a good response, or you get an even better response than you expected. You know, that's why, you know, I hate to say that's why you put in the effort, but you know, I would think that at least 50% of the reason one has a sexual encounter is for their partner to enjoy it and getting the feedback that their partner's enjoying it.
Yeah, but that's if you're a good lover. There are a ton of people out in the world that are selfish and really just in it, you know, for themselves.
I don't want them answering my poll. I'm not going to apologize to selfish lovers. Come on, do better.
Number seven
is wrinkles. And yeah, this is a not sure, because most people who talk about wrinkles talk about souls and wrinkled souls. So could we have lumped them in with souls? I don't know. But I would say in my experience in the scene, the wrinkled soul people are diehard. That their response to the wrinkles as being the most important thing is significant enough that they're just not soul people. They are absolutely wrinkle people, probably wrinkled soul people, because I don't think there's a whole lot of other parts of the foot that wrinkle. But
I mean, I used to have this French guy that would buy customs for me, and he wanted to see the wrinkles on the side of my feet. Like, on the outside, like where the ankle goes down to the pinky toe.
Okay. And I've told you that I have a particular like of just a very, it's the tiniest little, just like when it's there. And that is that Y-shaped crease that happens between the big toe and the next toe moving up the foot.
I forget about that.
So, and that's not a sole wrinkle. It's not the primary thing in my fetish, but it's definitely like a thing. When I notice it and I like it, and it's a crease, and that I guess that's a wrinkle.
I mean, when we talked about whether wrinkles should have its own, because it's an adjective and we didn't use any other
descriptive, I thought of it as word. The noun, just the plural noun wrinkles, the wrinkles themselves, but you're thinking more in terms of the verb of the fact that the foot wrinkles.
Well, I mean, wouldn't they just mean that they like the soles then?
Like I said, it's impossible to know, and that's why this poll is so very unscientific. I think we should just try to get through the bottom half. And so I'm going to say, coming in at number 6.
Oh my gosh, connection. Number 6 at 6%.
I liked this, and I saw some of the full length answers, read through them. I really like this. There are people who've responded in ways saying that their foot fetish and foot play brings their relationship together. There's others who responded that, you know, when doing things with their partner's feet, they feel connected. I love that this was sort of esoteric and more of an emotional response, and, you know, not just throwing out heels. You know, not no offense to the people who gave a more "what's your favorite part of the foot," certainly, but I like that it ranked as high as it did. I like that.
So initially, when I got my response like that, I thought, oh, this is just what they think I want to hear, right? They don't want to insult me by saying, oh, like, come on feet or whatever, like coming on feet or something. And then I read your responses and you had similar ones. So it wasn't just because I'm a girl and you needed to be mushy with me, extra sensitive with me.
Mm.
You know, but yeah, we got some really...
you know, we've branded this podcast as relationships, almost as a sociology. We talk about community. I like the fact that there is this emotional answer, as high as it is, that really proves, I think, what we've been trying to say.
excuse me. Quick shout out to my friend Teddy on drums, who said, you can actually build chemistry and a true rapport or connection depending on the two parties. So that's his favorite thing about a foot fetish. And I think I feel the same way, because with my husband and I, it wasn't about, oh, here's another thing for me to rub or whatever. It was, it builds a connection knowing that I could help fulfill his fantasies, bring pleasure to each other in a completely different way. It was more unique. It was, you know, a thing to talk about. It was, yeah.
I think for the people, the maybe the later generation or second time around people, meaning people who came out of a long-term relationship and then their adulthood found a new partner that became their lifetime partner, we know of some who connected because of the fetish scene. And I think, you know, that's kind of answered there.
And then one more, and before
that's the bottom half. We only have the top five left. So
let's... no, I wanted to read one more response, and then we're gonna take. So Virgo says, the size, smell, wrinkles, and connecting with women without sex. So that was all of those, right? So, you know, we talked about the wrinkles and the connection. And so I thought that was really cool. I'm really glad that, what was the percentage? 6%?
6%, which is significant when there's 153 respondents.
Yeah.
I cannot believe we had 153 respondents.
We did. And I didn't count. That's not including the ones that I didn't.
That were unquantifiable.
Right. The people who said feet.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. The ones who said feet is their favorite thing about feet. Yeah.
Or everything. And while I do understand
that, you know, the everything answer, yeah, it's unfortunately
I have nowhere to put it. Yeah.
We couldn't give crazy parameters. And we found the whole size thing unquantifiable because, yeah, if we took everyone who mentioned size and, you know, didn't specify small, large, didn't specify what part, we could have maybe quantified size, but it's a difficult one.
It would be too biased because all my followers like big feet. Not all, but the majority of them. So anyway.
All right. So when we come back, we'll have the big ones, the top five.
I'm so excited.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, and we are down to our top five now. So coming in at number five, what do we got?
Humiliation/submission, which I categorized into a femdom.
Okay.
Just.
I mean, we always try our best to avoid the purely heteronormative, but, you know, we also, the way our respondents responded, it was definitely guys talking about that aspect of it. So
for sure. All the ones that responded with, I mean, literally the word humiliation, they were all men. So,
right.
And that was 8% of people. And then of course, I, I do understand that with femdom, sometimes it doesn't particularly, it's not humiliation in particular, it's other kinds of stuff. But so in here is like cock ball and torture, bootlicking, you know, just, I don't know. I thought maybe we should put it under worshiping, but no, these were very specific about.
Yeah. I enjoy foot worship and I don't really do it in a femdom being humiliated kind of manner. So I think, I think that's fair. There was another one that we kind of, that I wondered if it couldn't have gotten lumped with.
Which one?
The
partner's reaction or?
No. Oh, just whether or not the secretive and naughty, the one of our little minuscule answers. But even if that wasn't mentioned separately, that would have upped it to tops 9% and left it in the exact same place in the poll. So, you know, it's a top 5 answer. It's absolutely there. People within the foot fetish community, that obviously a good majority do enjoy the submissive aspect of it.
One of the responses that we got specifically said that they enjoy being at the lowest possible place, you know, with a woman. So, I mean, you can't ask go any lower than that, right? So,
nope.
At and their I feet, think, yeah.
Yeah, and I think talking outside of the answers to these polls, and you're really outside the foot fetish community, I do know that in the general DS dynamic, you know, subs and bottoms are often at the feet. Whether foot fetish play is specifically part of what's going on. So obviously in the foot community, you know, that humiliation level is by far a factor.
It's a thin line because I mean, femdom doesn't necessarily mean that you have a foot fetish. So
not at all. But I do know that in dominance play, female or otherwise, specifically in femdom and in gay dominance play, though, putting the sub at your feet, putting your feet on your sub, is part of play whether there's an active interest in foot fetish or not.
Well, 8% of our respondents felt that way.
And I guess what more could we say about that?
I mean, the throat tramples, the painful, I mean, what if somebody had said bastinado? Would we have a completely separate category? Yeah, I think category? If somebody
had said bastinado, then we might have had to break the masochism away from the submission. But in this case, I think all the responses definitely fell in that same window, that it definitely was humiliation and submission and female dominance, just because of how those 8% of people answered. We do know for a fact that that was all, in this case, properly related. So let's move on.
Number 4 is accessories.
Accessories. And a judgment had to be made on this, and I don't disagree with it. But the accessories are like the toe rings and the ankle bracelets and the hosiery, but not the shoes. We looked at that separately. And I think that's because traditionally shoes can be a shoe fetish, whereas, well, pantyhose fetishism exists outside of the foot world, but I think your hosiery fits more as a fetishing the or liking the accessory as part of the foot fetish, and shoes are different. I mean, we could have ruled any possible way on this, but
I mean, we didn't get too many shoe responses anyway. I don't think that one's included in this one. We didn't get
all the nylon responses from me. Thank you.
No, I did get quite a few. Yeah. But yeah, I've got a lot of feet in pantyhose, and so you know, my favorite part of feet is toe rings. So
I think, and the other thing is, and the reason why I'm not a huge fan of shoes, shoes hide the feet. The other things we're talking about decorate the feet.
Right.
So accessories, or one might say foot decoration.
Yeah. Does pedicures fall under this?
I think it definitely could. And I think if you had the one or two people who responded pedicures and added to it, it wouldn't change its spot in the list.
And it's at, and that's at what percentage? 10%.
We're at 10%. I mean, even if we said 11% because we maybe added the pedicure people, I think decorating your feet at 11%, 10%,
it's pretty close.
Top four answer for sure. And I don't even know if that's my favorite way to experience feet, but is it my favorite thing about feet themselves? I don't know.
I didn't even ask you, but I'm going to ask you
once we go through the list. I don't know if I could have answered your poll.
You couldn't have given me a one-worded response?
I probably could have been one of those everything guys.
But you can't, you can't say everything. Everything doesn't count because
there's an answer
that would mean dirty. That would mean
quantify. And I would give the same one because I've said this before. My favorite thing about feet is that it is an experience for all five senses. And I know somebody else gave you that answer, and I know it's not quantifiable here, but would have been my answer in the blind, not knowing what the purpose of the poll was.
So for me, should I give you my answer now? Or
unless it comes up in somewhere, unless you actually have a legit top five answer.
No, for me, my favorite part about, my favorite part about foot fetish is the experience, right? Just having one more thing to give and receive pleasure on. But if we're talking just aesthetically, my favorite thing about feet is toes. Pedicured toes is what I'm going to say. So, pedicured toes.
Yeah. In knowing the reason for this poll, my answer probably would have been in that partner response reaction thing. And if we're talking about just aesthetic, I'm definitely in the curves category. So that puts me in a bottom five answer anyway, either way.
Right.
But we all know that I famously am a huge fan of nylon, and I think anyone else who knows me would have put me at that answer.
Curves definitely jumped out at me, but I think that I would have to say pantyhose for you.
Yeah, well, and I think you always mistakenly say the word pantyhose.
Nylons.
Nylon. I do not care if they're nylon socks, knee highs, stockings, pantyhose. Some, obviously, stockings, I think, to me, are the absolute most attractive. But when talking about the feet alone, feet wrapped in nylon is my favorite way to experience feet. Is it my favorite thing about feet? Is it the reason I'm into feet? I don't know.
I think maybe people need to look at it a different way. So maybe, because if you say everything, to me that means calluses and dirty feet too, and that's not entirely true. So maybe the thing, so for me, I guess that's why it's pedicures for me, because I really like neat, clean, bright, you know, colors. So, and what's the thing that you don't like? Maybe you don't like stinky feet. I don't know.
Well, that.
So because you don't like stinky feet, the favorite thing about feet is a nice scent.
And that becomes, it brings us into our number three response. 12% of our people did say it is about scent for them. And we didn't discriminate between the ones who like what they might call a nice scent, because everybody considers the scent they like the nice scent, but whether that be a clean scent or a smelly scent, 12% of our listeners or our respondents, it is about scent. It's an olfactory thing first.
I do think that, I've had a few people that have purchased socks for me who specifically requested like a you know, a smell that you had to turn your head away from, a nose burning, eye watering smell. And I think those people know that's not a nice smell.
Yes.
If it's burning your eyes, I don't think.
And I definitely, you know, enjoy the smell of a woman's foot, but there is a time when it's too much. And there is a time when it's too masked in lotion or other fragrances. There's a sweet spot for me. And I think for me, at that sweet spot, I don't feel it in the nose. I feel it everywhere. I would say it's what is the word I'm looking for? It's a pheromone reaction.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. All right. So number two. It's toes.
Tied for third.
But number two is toes, also at 12%.
Just toes.
Just toes. I mean, they could have said long.
A lot of people have opinions on toes, long toes, short toes.
Round toes, fat toes, skinny toes, like
duckable toes.
Right. Pretty toes, we got a lot of, but I mean, that's subjective. I can't determine what a pretty toe is.
But yeah, I think there's a good reason why toes are very well responded to. And whether that be aesthetic or how they like to interact with the foot, I think nobody's really ignoring. Anyone who's got a foot fetish who's doing anything with the foot is not ignoring the toes. It's kind of go-to spot. It's kind of important. It is. I think it's part of what makes a foot a foot.
So what's number one then? Drum roll, please.
And so here we go. I can't do a little drum roll noise that will be picked up on. National Lampoon's Vacation. The number one answer. And possibly the biggest fight in the foot fetish community between the toes people and the souls people. But 18%, a significantly higher majority of your followers. No, I'm kidding.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I got some souls answers too. The souls people take it all. Now, and when we even consider that we possibly could have thrown the wrinkles people in as souls people, it would go even higher.
Right.
At least among the people that we're interacting with.
Now, we have to admit that this is extremely biased, because if we had polled someone who has really skinny, veiny feet, those answers would have changed. Someone would have said veins. Like, no one said veins to me because that's not my following. That's not
right.
My
and even
audience.
If you're talking my following, the people I post for the most part have feet that more closely resemble yours than some of these other things that we are saying in the opposition. So yes, because I am attracted aesthetically to a curvier foot, so I tend to have posts that include a curvier, softer looking foot.
Right.
That's going to appeal to the souls people, to the curves people, to the arches people, and of course the nylons people. But
I think the soles is a pretty sort of obvious answer. I think if you polled somebody and you said, hey, what do you think, not what you think, but what people are going to say is the best thing about a foot, what do you think they're going to say? I would say most people are going to say soles. I would have known that even if I'm not a sole guy, even if I was a toe guy, I would say, yeah, most people like soles.
There's definitely three camps in the aesthetic of a foot. And of course, they can like different aspects of it. But there is the toe camp, the arch camp, and the soles camp. And I also think there's many more people in social media. I have said this. Soles is the easier thing to do.
Well, Yes, that's true.
Appealing because to the you can have really requires a good pedicure, or even harder, a good natural nail. And the toes people are short and plump toes people versus long and skinny toes people. The arch crowd tends to be only the high arch crowd, but it's harder for people to appeal to the arch crowd because some people just aren't born with high arches. Almost anyone.
Some people are flexible.
Some people are flexible. I don't know that there's that many people who fetishize a flat arch. I think the toes crowd gets split between the long and the short. I think the soles crowd is the easiest to please. And I don't want to say that, you know, there aren't people with great soles or that there aren't different opinions on soles. But I think that.
So I told people. If you're a soles
person, most people's foot and sole, more people's foot and sole will appeal to your taste.
So I've told, this is true, I've told, you know, models, foot models, starting off, you know, amateur foot models, when they say, I really want to get into it, but I think I have ugly feet. And I've I had a conversation with someone once where, yes, the feet, the toes, the feet are really ugly. And I say, you have to find the thing that is the nicest about your foot, and then you need to market that, right? And most of that, most people, it's going to be soles, because you can have some fucked up ass toes, but you can definitely do a lot with that sole. I mean, assuming you take care of it, right? So assuming you're not going into the calloused, barefoot walking, you know.
That's right, but valid.
It would be, yeah. I think
a person with a clean, smooth foot is going to cast a wider net showing their sole than showing the top of their foot and their toes.
Right.
Just because, but what that and I'm does not saying us... soles people aren't discriminating. I'm not saying that at all. But I think there's a little more generic appeal in the sole that it doesn't have to be as specifically shaped as the people who are into arches and the people who are into toes, because they're into a much more specific arch, a specific toe. Yeah. I mean, please feel free to disagree with us. In fact, in the comments on YouTube, in the question on Spotify, tell us what you think and if we hit it on the mark, or if you're thinking you disagree with us. Well, disagree with the people who responded. Because although we've given our opinions on the answers themselves come from you in the first place.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone who responded.
Probably when you all told them we had to scratch some that didn't really, even if your answer didn't make the air, thank you to all 160-ish of you.
There's some people that had like a double answer. Like they said, you know, soles and pantyhose. And so I did separate those. So
okay.
But still, it was a lot of people, and thank you so much.
Of you who responded to us, thank you so much. And the thousands of you who are listening to us right now, thank you so much. We always appreciate hearing from you. My God, the amount of when I get I'm still always floored when I get a random DM from somebody who, you know, tells me they've been listening since the beginning, and like, okay, I thought those people died a long time ago.
Shut up.
So, I hate to say, statistically, probably one of them died of COVID. I hate to say that, but it's probably statistically true.
I mean, but also think about, you know, we're an 18 and over podcast. So if there are 17-year-olds right when we first started that couldn't, you know, that weren't able to find us or couldn't listen to us, I mean, they look how old they are now, right? So yeah. They're in their early 20s, and so they're listening now, maybe.
I hate to call it fan mail, but the random first DMs that reach out to me about loving the podcast before they say anything else to me still just floor me.
It's humbling. I like it. It's a really nice feeling. So thank you guys for that. We really do appreciate it.
And thank you so much if this was your first episode that you caught. You know, and thanks for getting this far into the show, especially since this is slightly longer than we've been doing recently. We've been trying to get that 45-minute mark so it's a good commute show, but sometimes we have too much to say.
We do.
Or we just talk too much.
And would we have a podcast if we didn't? No.
True enough.
All right, so there you go. Your top 10 things to like about feet. If you disagree or you agree or you would like to submit a late response, we'll take those two and maybe talk about them at the next episode. We'll see.
Absolutely. So thank you as always for listening. Thank you, Annie, for being with me for this hour-ish of our day and more. And for those of you who found a reason to masturbate this whole time.
Or 10 reasons. You're welcome.
Very welcome.
Bye.